Last time on Jonathan Park and the journey into the Blast Zone.
Welcome back to the Battle of the Worldviews. And now, here's your host, Willie Hutton.
Well, it's time once again to send our two teams out to an exciting new location.
Willie, we're going to Mount St. Helens.
I believe a rock from the lava dome will be the one piece of evidence that will seal our victory.
Dad, what do you think about leading the junior response team to get the sample?
I think I can.
Now to the business of making sure the creation response team loses.
Has anyone else besides me noticed that the helicopter has never come back?
We know it's coming after us! We're gonna have to get out of this mess ourselves!
It looks that way.
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the journey into the Blast Zone.
Okay, let's keep moving, boys.
Where are we heading?
Well, I want to get out of this crater.
Well, the temperature sure has dropped.
Yeah, night's coming. I think we've got a pretty strong storm coming in.
Whoa!
Wow.
Oh, well, here we go. Everyone's got their parkas on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, boys, see that giant rock over there? Get underneath it and take a moment to regroup.
All right.
Oh, okay, boys. I think this will protect us for a minute while we think through what to do.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Hey, Dad, how's it going up there?
Well, it's not going too good. This storm's really working itself up.
I've had Jim making calls back at camp, and we can't contact anyone who'd fly a helicopter up there at night during a storm.
Well, I thought that would be the case, all right.
Are you equipped to spend the night up there? You know, I bet we could get Jack to come up after you in the morning with a helo.
Well, I think it's going to be one cold night up here. Kendall, I'd rather start working our way down. The lower we can get, the better the conditions.
But, Dad, it would take a few hours to get down in normal conditions.
I know, but the lower we go, the better we'll fare. Now, maybe you can have a team meet us toward the bottom.
Okay, Dad. We'll be back at camp soon. If I come up with any better alternatives, I'll give you a call.
Sounds good. All right. I want you all to get into your snow pants.
Okay.
And then let's get as far down this mountain as we can before the storm really lets go.
All right.
Kendall, Jonathan, praise the Lord, you're back.
Hey, Mom. Hey,
all right. Good to see you.
Oh, my. You guys are soaked.
Where's Daniel, Dwayne, and Glenn?
They went back to their cabin to dry off and change. Listen, this is important. I want to discuss what we should do about my dad and the boys.
Right. They're just starting down from the rim right now, correct?
Exactly.
I'm going to make you two some hot chocolate to warm you all up. Does anyone else want any?
Sure, I'll take a cup.
Okay.
I consider myself one of the gutsiest pilots around.
You can say that again.
And I can all but guarantee you that there is no one that we are going to find to go up there tonight in a storm. Now, I might consider it, but I know for sure that there isn't anybody out there who's going to let me fly their helo tonight.
Oh, here are some dry jackets. Why don't you at least put these on so you can be a little bit warm?
Thanks, honey.
So are Grandpa and the guys going to be okay up there, or should we go up there and try to find them?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a good question, son. Jack, with your training, what's your analysis of the situation?
I think it would be foolish to send more of us up on that mountain right now. We might end up looking for two teams instead of just one. Now, since we've got good radio contact with them, and the storm hasn't fully hit, it's probably good for them to make time down the mountain. Although they should try to stay dry.
Okay, gang, here's some hot chocolates. Jonathan, here's yours.
Oh, thank you.
Mariah?
Thank you. Ooh, looks great. Good.
Ladies, please. Well, we're trying to discuss some serious issues here, and, well, you just keep interrupting.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were...
I'm sure it's accidental. But you keep bringing jackets and hot chocolate. It's like we're having a little party, but this is serious. We're trying to figure out how to help your team who's in danger.
Martha, Angela, it's okay. You're just trying to serve us.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I just can't concentrate with all this activity.
Anyway, let's just keep contact with them, and if they're doing fine in the morning, then great. But if they need assistance, we can be ready to leave at first sign of light.
Kendall, I know you're worried, but you know your dad.
Yeah.
He's smart. He's a survivor.
Yeah.
We just need to pray for them.
You're right, honey. Parks and Brennans, I think we need to spend some time praying for my dad and the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be our cue to head out.
Okay, bye. See you guys tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Good night.
Well, this day didn't turn out quite the way we planned.
Hey, it's just another CRT mission.
Oh, wow. What is that?
It looks like a river of cement.
Oh, no.
Well, the ash and pumice are starting to get saturated from all the rain. It's starting to wash down the mountain.
It could wash us down the mountain.
We're full on in the adventure.
I miss Mike. It just doesn't seem right without him.
Yeah. I wonder how he's doing.
Oh, you guys sure have been on a lot of adventures together, I'll tell
you. We sure have. Yeah.
But to be honest, it wasn't until your grandson came along.
When Jonathan joined the Eagle's Nest gang, he really challenged us in our faith. Yeah. Got us thinking about evidence for what we believe.
Remember what Mike thought? That's right. He didn't buy into all that creation stuff at first.
I thought Mike always believed in young Earth creationism.
Oh, no way! I remember that first Eagle Nest meeting with Jonathan. After he left, Mike told us that he thought Jonathan was a bit crazy.
Yeah.
Remember how Thad asked him how long ago he thought dinosaurs existed?
He answered 65 million years.
Well, I don't think that's so funny.
No, it was what he said a few minutes later when he asked how long ago he believed God made the Earth.
And he said about 6,000 years.
So I said, what? Were dinosaurs floating in space for almost 65 million years?
Well, that is kind of silly. But sadly, a lot of Christians would give the same answer.
I remember we stayed up almost the entire night talking about it.
And ever since then, Mike began to understand the importance of creation.
Boy, how refreshing to hear young boys who care enough about their friends to challenge him in his faith.
Yeah. I guess that's when we learned how important it is to build each other up and encourage each other. Like it says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And that was because your grandson came into our lives. Since then, we have all been changed. That's right. I can't think of a better thing to do as friends than to encourage each other in the Lord and to work together to reach others with the message of the Creator.
Yeah.
Right now, I think we should seek shelter.
Did you see that?
What?
In that flash of lightning, I saw a man behind us.
What?
Really?
I didn't see anyone. Look, Eddie, we are on top of a volcano, at night, in the middle of a storm. I don't think there are a lot of other people up here right now.
Yeah.
Yes, I guess you're right. I guess nobody would be as unfortunate as us to be here right now.
Well, your eyes were probably just playing tricks on you.
I hope so.
Okay, now I'm going to call Kendall. Kendall? Son?
Hey, Dad, how's it going up there? Where are you?
Well, we're all right now. A little soaked and a bit cold. And that storm's coming on a little stronger. I'd say we're about a mile from the crest on the north side. I think we're going to look for some shelter and I'll try to stick it out for the night.
Good idea, Dad. Let's stay in communication. Can you check in with us every half hour?
Well, that's probably a wise idea.
Okay. By the way, the Park and Brennan family just spent a bit of time praying for each of you. Talk to you in 30. Out.
Okay, gentlemen. Let's start.
I saw the man again!
Whoa, so did I! And the lightning flashed, he was right behind us!
Oh, man. He's big!
Hello! Is anyone out there?
There's some big, burly mountain man up here with us.
Okay, come on, boys. Let's get to shelter quickly and keep an eye on behind us.
Is it okay if I stay up with you for just a little while longer while you check in with Grandpa and the guys?
All right, sure, but just for a few more minutes.
Okay.
Hello, Angela. What are you up to?
Well, Mariah just called and asked if she could borrow a... Oh, I'll bet that's her now.
Hello, Angela. Thanks for letting me borrow a blanket. I was cold last night.
No problem. Why don't you come in while I get the blanket?
Sure.
Hello, Miss Meadows.
Hello, Jonathan. Dr. Park.
Hi, have a seat.
Thank you.
So, Miss Meadows, what do you think of this area?
Well, I've been out enjoying the incredible environment of this area.
As a zoologist?
Yes, somewhat, but more, I guess, as a member of this planet. There is nothing that gives as much energy as just being at one with nature.
So what amazes you the most?
Oh, here's your blanket.
Oh, thank you so much for this. Jonathan, to answer your question, I think I am most impressed by nature's desire to continue, to live on.
What do you mean?
Well, this place was a blast zone. huge forests wiped out, everything plowed over by mass landslides and huge deposits of volcanic debris. Not long after the 1980 eruption, the area surrounding the volcano looked like the face of the moon.
Wow.
Some predicted that it would take more than 100 years for life to reestablish here. Mm-hmm. But a little more than 20 years later, it's teeming with life.
Oh, in what ways?
Well, first are the plants. Rain and snow have been breaking the ash down into nutrients. Many of the old plants have reappeared here. Wind and the birds and insects have also carried in many new seeds, and we're seeing varieties that are new to this area.
Well, what about the animals?
Well, yes, of course, that's my professional interest. I've been cataloging as many species as I can while I'm here. It's incredible. There were gophers that survived the eruption by simply burrowing underground. Now they're having a wonderful time of it, since their predators were not so fortunate. All the fish in Spirit Lake were killed, but now there are some reappearing.
Wow.
There are tailed frogs and even large herds of elk.
Well, let me ask you this. How are the elk surviving without the large forests? I mean, don't they need the trees for shade?
Yeah,
they seem to be doing just fine. To survive the heat of summer, they burrow into the wet mud to keep cool. Listen to this. While these elk now give birth to one calf every 2 or 3 years, in the years directly following the eruption, they were giving birth to twins or triplets every year.
Oh, wow. As if God made them to repopulate quickly when needed.
Mm. Dad, that's like what you've told me before about what may have been happening after the flood.
Yes, son. Imagine how the world must have looked after the worldwide flood. It would have been as devastated as Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
And when Noah released the animals, God pronounced in Genesis 8:17, "Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth."
What a great God we have.
Amen.
He so lovingly designed animals and plants and nature in such a way that they can recover quickly from a disaster like a flood or an eruption. He is so powerful.
Yes.
That's a new perspective on Christianity I've never heard before. The God who has lovingly designed nature to recover. I think I'll need to think about that one. Well, I better get back to my cabin.
Oh, and Jonathan, you and I need to get some sleep.
Yes, ma'am.
And I need to contact my dad. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, Mr. Park, I'm really starting to get cold.
Oh, me too.
Dad, you have a tarp in your pack, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's all huddle as close as we can under this giant rock. Thad, I want you to get out that tarp. And let's spread it over all of us to keep off as much moisture as possible.
I'll get it out. Oh, did you hear that?
What?
It was a crunching sound. It's that guy. He's coming after us.
Calm down, boys. Be quiet.
Ah, he's right there.
He's standing right in front of us.
Ah! It's that guy. He followed us here.
Calm down. I'm not here to hurt anyone.
Who are you?
My name's Jake. Got a little ambitious. Wanted to make it up to the crater and back in one day.
Also, you want to join us?
Yeah. Boy, would I. First, I want to call my family on the cell. Let them know I'm okay. Can't seem to get service next to this rock. I'll be right back.
I'm glad it turned out to be just another hiker.
Hello?
Miles, it's me, Jake.
Now, did you find them?
Yes.
Excellent.
I gotta go. It's getting really unbearable out here.
Get that rock sample. I'll see you in the morning.
You still awake, Eddie?
Well, Mr. Park, I'm too cold to sleep.
Yes, well, it is freezing, but it's nice to be out of the rain.
I guess everyone else was so exhausted, they fell asleep.
Yes, including our stranger, Jake. Yeah, okay, Eddie. I need to contact Kendall again with a status report. Your body needs sleep for the long day we'll have tomorrow.
Okay. Good night, Mr. Park. We made it! Look, it's morning and the storm's gone.
Oh, man. Where's that Jake guy?
Hey, he's gone. And so is his stuff. Oh, no!
What's wrong?
The collection bag's gone.
What?
What, are you sure?
Yes, I left it right here last night.
That guy Jake must have taken it.
But why? Gentlemen, unless we find it, this entire mission was a waste.
Oh, no!
Jim, Kendall, what's up? Isn't it pretty early in the morning?
Yeah, it's at 6:20.
Jack, we just heard from Benjamin. He and the boys made it through the night just fine.
Hey, that's great, huh?
Yeah, well, someone just stole something valuable from them. And we're coming to you to ask for your help in tracking the thief for us.
Yeah.
What? Well, now you've got me intrigued. What are we talking about here?
Well, go ahead, Kendall. I think we should tell him.
Jack, we pulled a rock sample from the lava dome. They're planning to date it so we can present it in studio tomorrow night.
Hey, that's sweet. I'll do it. On one condition.
What's that, Jack?
I want you to report the data that comes back from that rock, regardless of whether it supports your worldview or ours.
Deal.
Let's go find that rock and see which side it's on.
All right. So, Jack, there's got to be a million ways down from the mountain. Finding this Jake guy's going to be like finding a needle in a haystack.
I don't think so, Jim.
Huh?
I checked with the Park Service, and they said that this is the quickest route to get up into the crater and back down.
Oh. How do we know that we haven't already passed him?
Well, Benjamin said Jake left sometime between 4:30 and 5:45 this morning.
Huh?
Even if he was making good time, I don't think he could be this far down yet.
So if we do run into him on this trail, what are we going to do?
I'm not sure. But all I can say is, there's two of us and one of him.
Great.
All right. We'll have it there by then. Bye.
Who was that, Dad?
It was Geologicron Labs up in Seattle. They said they're more than willing to perform an analysis on our sample and have it done by tomorrow afternoon.
Wow.
But they need to have it by 1 p.m. this afternoon.
Kendall, are you there?
Right here, Jim. What's up?
We've got our rock sample.
Oh, that's great! How?
Jack was right about everything, as usual. We caught Jake coming down Truman Trail.
Oh, that's great!
Yeah, and not too long afterward, we met up with Benjamin and the boys.
You're kidding! Okay, Jim, why don't you just drop them off back at camp, and then I'm gonna send you up to the lab in Seattle with a rock while we head out to Spirit Lake. All right, I think this is a pretty good place to shoot. Dwayne, can you see Spirit Lake okay?
Yes, this is a perfect spot.
Jonathan, you should have seen this place before the eruption. The summer before, Grandpa brought me up here fishing. We took a boat out and explored the whole lake. We also limited out on trout.
Really?
Now, we decided to come back here every year, and it was that next May that the eruption happened.
I don't want to spoil family time, but shouldn't we get this going?
Okay, guys, I'm rolling.
Kendall, why don't you give the floating log speech? And then misapply it to Yellowstone, and then I'll rebut it, and then we can be done.
All right, Dr. Priest. Here we go. Behind me is Spirit Lake, and during the eruption of 1980, a million trees were uprooted and thrown into these waters. After floating for some time, some of the logs became waterlogged on the root end and sunk to the bottom of the lake in a vertical position.
And then sediment continued to enter the lake and began to cover these vertical logs.
That's exactly right, Jonathan. So, in the years following Mount St. Helens eruption, we were left with lots of trees in an upright position covered in layers of sediment. And here's something else. It appears that each species of tree waterlogs at different rates.
And that may tell us something about the fossil forest at Yellowstone Park.
Yes, Jonathan. There, scientists have found over 27 different layers of supposed forests. Is it millions of years of forests growing, one on top of the other? Or was it a catastrophic event like this one that uprooted tons of trees, depositing them in the water where they sunk vertically into place?
Kendall, many of the fossil trees have been buried in sediments that come from high-energy mud flows, not a calm lake like here at Spirit Lake. Second, more than half of the trees in Yellowstone are upright. However, it has been noted that only 10 to 20% of the trees have been deposited upright here in this lake. And finally, many of the trees have been discovered in actual soil. For these reasons, I think we can conclusively state that the trees of Yellowstone grew right where they were and were not transported into place.
Let's look at each one of those, shall we? First of all, I'm not claiming that what happened at Mount St. Helens is exactly what happened at Yellowstone. And high-energy mud flows give me even stronger evidence to claim that those trees were transported into place catastrophically. 50% of trees are upright in Yellowstone and only 20% here? To that I say, so what? They are two different sites. I don't have a problem with that difference. And finally, the soil. Could that also have been transported into place? During the 1980 eruption here, an entire island of trees and their soil were picked up and transported downstream completely intact. Daniel, I see enough right here to cast a huge amount of doubt on the millions of years story being told about upright logs in supposed ancient forests.
Ugh. Again, we look at the exact same data and somehow come away with two totally different interpretations.
And again, I remind you that they both can't be true. And I contend that the biblical worldview is consistent with the worldwide evidence of a flood. And more importantly, the truth of the scriptures.
Okay, men, back to your corners. I think we've got it.
Well, thank you, Creation Response Team, for coming to this impromptu meeting.
Oh, yeah.
No problem. That's
great. Now, tonight is our last one here. Tomorrow morning, we pack up and leave. So, I just wanted to take a moment and congratulate all of you on a job well done.
Excellent
job, everyone.
Dad and the junior team, because of your courage and bravery up there on the mountain, we got our rock sample.
It was an awesome adventure.
And Jim, thank you for getting it to the lab by 1 o'clock.
No problem. You know, they said it should be done in the morning.
Well, let's hope so. We can pick it up in Seattle and be back at the SeaTac airport so we can make tomorrow evening's recording session in Orlando. Okay, let's get done what we need to so we can be ready to go first thing in the morning.
All right.
That sounds great.
Welcome back from Blink and to the most exciting TV show on the Nature Adventure Channel, Battle of the Worldviews. Here's our host, Willie Hutton.
Well, we've seen the incredible video from the field. Eddie, you were the one who shot a lot of the video footage up on that mountain.
I just remember looking at my friends and thinking how much they meant to me, and praying for safety.
Dr. Park.
Yes, sir?
The biggest challenge for your team was to get the rock to the lab for them to get the analysis in time for today's broadcast. Did you make it?
Yes, we did.
Please give us the results.
You know, in fact, we have a graphic of the data. Can we get that up on the screen? There it is. Now, as you can see, we had the sample dated using the potassium-argon method. And using the known rate of decay, you can calculate the age of the rock.
So now your team challenges that this type of radioisotope dating and others are inaccurate.
These types of dating methods are based on three assumptions. First, that we know how much potassium and argon there was to begin with. Next, that the rate of decay stays consistent. And lastly, that there hasn't been any type of contamination of the sample.
So, tell me about the graph you've got up here.
Yes, well, our goal, if you'll remember, was to repeat an experiment done by Dr. Steve Austin of the Institute for Creation Research. And incredibly, we came pretty close. Our numbers are comparable. Now, just like Dr. Austin had done, we had our lab separate the rock into several different components and then dated separately.
Dr. Park, you got dates ranging from 350,000 to 2.4 million years for the sample you just took from the lava dome at Mount St. Helens?
Yes, and it was taken from the part of the dome that was formed during the 1980 eruptions. Willie, that means that this rock that dated so old is only slightly more than 20 years old.
Now, I don't know how accurate this recent dating by the Creation Response Team is, but I can address the work originally done by Dr. Austin.
Well, go ahead.
The lab in which he submitted his work clearly states that their equipment is not able to accurately date rocks under 2 million years old.
But Daniel, one of the minerals came out to have the amount of argon that they believed would be in a rock that was 2.4 million years old. So that was clearly within their range of ability.
I've heard many critics of Dr. Austin's work say that what's most likely happened is that when the lava dome was formed, it simply brought with it much older rock from deeper inside the earth.
Glenn, Dr. Austin claims that he did careful work and that there was no evidence of older material in his sample. No one else has found evidence to the contrary.
Wow, well, that was fascinating, but time is running short, so that means it's time for the Battle of the Worldviews. Audience, cast your vote.
Look at that display, Willie. The numbers are coming in. It looks like the Creation Response Team is taking the lead.
All right, we have our vote in, and who's the winner?
The Creation Response Team.
Dr. Park, come here. I have a check for your team in the amount of $100,000.
Wow, thank you so much.
Dr. Hunt, you might not be taking home the biggest check this time, but $50,000 isn't bad.
No, sir. Thank you very much.
And that's it for this week's edition of the Battle of the World Views. Make sure to join us next week when we'll send our two teams on their next exciting adventure.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Journey into the Blast Zone. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Be sure to listen to the next album in the Explorers Society series, as the Explorers Society and the Creation Response Team investigate a supposed evolutionary ancestor in the Arctic wilderness of Ellesmere Island in Jonathan Park and the Arctic Adventure.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.